Well, here we are in our Bible study segment, ladies, and our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we were seeing what Amnon decided to do and just how he decided to sin against his sister and against God and the results of that. And today we're going to pick back up and see what the next piece of that puzzle is, because it's not over yet. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We'll be in chapter 13, verses 23 through 39. After 2 full years, Absalom had sheep shearers at Bel Hazor, which is near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his sons go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go, lest we be burdensome to you." He pressed him, but he would not go, but gave him his blessing. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom pressed him until he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Then Absalom commanded his servants, "Mark when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, 'Strike Amnon,' then kill him. Do not fear, have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." So the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. While they were on the way, news came to David, "Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left." Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants who were standing by tore their garments. But Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day he violated his sister Tamar. Now, therefore, let not my lord the king so take it to heart as to suppose that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon alone is dead." But Absalom fled. And the young man who kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld, many people were coming from the road behind him, from by the side of the mountain. And Jonadab said to the king, "Behold, the king's sons have come, as your servant said, so it has come about." And as soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son day after day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the spirit of the king longed to go out to Absalom, because he was comforted about Amnon since he was dead. 2 years later. 2 years. Did you catch that? Tamar was assaulted and disgraced 2 years prior, and there has been no punishment for her attacker. Absalom has bided his time for 2 years, waiting for David to take action and correct Amnon in some way. When it becomes clear that this isn't going to happen, Absalom is ready to seize whatever opportunity is given to him. And this is it. It's sheep shearing time. It's a celebration. It's a party. And Absalom concocts a plan. He goes to the king and asks David and all the royal family to come to this feast. Now remember, it was the same feast that was going on when David met Nabal and Abigail, and Nabal refused to include David's men in any part of that feast. David, however, refuses to go to Absalom's feast because he doesn't want to burden his son with all those mouths to feed. David does, however, give Absalom his blessing to go ahead with the celebration. So Absalom seizes the opportunity and asks David to send Amnon, the heir to the throne, to the party instead. After all, if David can't come, send Amnon, the king's eldest son and heir, can come as a mark of distinction and honor to Absalom. David's a little suspicious and asks why Absalom wants Amnon there, but Absalom keeps urging him and asks for all the king's sons to be allowed to go with him, hopefully dispelling any suspicion that David had by the idea that there is safety in numbers. Absalom, however, had his plan set. He had told his servants what to do to kill Amnon when he was drunk. Absalom knew that Amnon would get drunk. That doesn't even seem to be a question of if, but when. And Absalom would then be the heir to the throne. And it is in light of this that he commands them, suggesting that he will be the next king and he will be heir and be able to protect the servants from the wrath of the king. Absalom isn't even going to do the deed himself. He gets other people to do it for him. In the actions of Amnon and Absalom, David's two oldest sons become guilty of sexual immorality and murder, just as David was guilty of those same sins. The plan works perfectly. Amnon gets drunk. Absalom's men kill Amnon. Every other male in the room runs for his life. They probably thought they were next in line to be killed, not knowing that they were only there to lure Amnon and David into a false sense of security so Absalom could have his brother killed. As the other sons were rushing home to David, some messenger arrives first and tells David that Absalom killed all the sons. Probably this messenger saw Amnon killed and assumed, as did the other of the king's sons, that Absalom intended to kill them all, and he fled before Absalom could finish them all off. David is horrified. He's extremely grieved and sorrowful, and he lays on the ground in mourning, and his servants join him in expressing their sorrow with their robes torn as well. Then Jonadab, the crafty, cunning cousin, arrives and tells David that only Amnon is dead, because Absalom had decided from the day that Tamar was disgraced that Amnon would face punishment for what he did. And Absalom? He runs off. He, who promised protection for his servants, can't protect himself. Nice. Absalom ends up at his mother's father's house, so his maternal grandfather. And David? David mourns his sons. He has lost one son to the hands of the other, and his second son flees in order to avoid punishment. And David feels that his hands are tied. After all, David is guilty of murdering Uriah, so how can he possibly punish Absalom for murdering Amnon? Again, David seems to forget that God disciplined him for his sins. Granted, this is actually part of that too. His sons are killing each other, and the sword is not departing from David's house. However, David could have lessened so many of these events by disciplining his sons when they sinned. God didn't let David get away scot-free, and David should have learned from that and should have been disciplining his sons as well. In the end, all of this, Amnon and Tamar and Amnon's murder and Absalom's disgrace and exile, all of it happens because of sin. Sin in David's life, sin in Amnon's life, sin in Absalom's life. I don't think you can find a better example to show you the truth that sin means death. Plain and simple. And here we have that very clearly shown to us. Apart from God, we are all in death. When we sin, we separate ourselves from God, for he who is good cannot abide evil. We have to repent and be reconciled, and then, here's the best part, he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. When we repent, it's gone. Our sin is gone. When that happens, we have to remember not to let Satan keep pulling us back into our sin. When we let guilt guide us, we're telling God, "No, your grace really isn't sufficient for me. I'm still guilty. I'm still wallowing in that sin. Jesus needs to die twice for me because I'm still not forgiven. That sin was too big for Jesus to handle." Seriously? David allowed himself to be trapped in guilt, and because of that, the situation with his sons became worse than it had been, and it's only going to get worse. My question for us today is this. Are you still living in the past? Are you still living under condemnation that you've been forgiven for and allowing that to cripple you from growing and moving forward? Jesus came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. He came so that we can be freed from our slavery to sin. He truly did come to set the captives free. Are you living freed from sin, or is sin still your master? You don't have to live that way anymore. Call out to your Father, accept his lordship in your life, repent, and live free for him.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.